today's scripture, we are presented with a powerful contrast between demonic oppression and the liberating authority of Jesus Christ. In the gospel, Jesus heals a man who was oppressed by a mute spirit. And by this miracle, Jesus shows us Satan's ceaseless efforts to silence our praise and confession of Christ. Yet Jesus overcomes this darkness. He liberates us from muted tongues and sealed lips. He gives us the ability to speak. And he renews a right spirit within us by whom we get to declare from our own mouths the very words of life. Let us start by first investigating a little more closely the recorded miracle in the text and its ramifications. When we think of the work of demons, we often think of how they distort people's minds and bodies. Perhaps you'll think of a man possessed by legion who lived amongst the tombs. He would cut himself with stones and overpower anyone who tried to stop him from wreaking havoc upon the town. I've been there. To that place. Pretty cool. Or perhaps you'll remember those demons who caused their host to cry out, to convulse, to foam at the mouth, to bruise their bodies or throw themselves into the fire or into a body of water in order to destroy them. It's interesting then that the person mentioned in today's gospel isn't violent or destructive, but silent, mute. This kind of demon possession and exorcism doesn't make for a very exciting Hollywood horror film, does it? And yet it does create a dramatic scene and provides us with a lesson which still impacts us today. My friends, man was made to praise God. And the demon's peculiar strategy here with this person is to silence that praise. First, he tries to muzzle the man. When he fails at that, then he tries to silence anyone who would believe that the exorcism was worked by the finger of God, that Jesus' power wasn't from God, but from Beelzebub. Simple logic overcomes this opposition. Jesus says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and a house divided against itself falls." If Satan also is divided, how will his kingdom stand? In other words, there's no way, even by simple logic, that Jesus cast out demons by the power of demons. He is stronger than all demons and has come to overcome the prince of demons himself, to take away all his arguments and his lies and deceptions, and to plunder him of his possessions, his possession of you. Christ crucified liberates us from our enslavement to Satan's power and sets us free to be the children of God, children who do marvel at his wonders and declare his glorious praise. My friends, we are either slaves or free. We belong either to Satan or to God. There is no middle ground. As Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." So you're either gathering in the true assembly of God's people, week to week, or you're scattering into the synagogues of Satan. There is no other options. So what about this gathering? Is this Satan's or God's? Well, you can tell a tree by its fruit. So what are our fruits? What is it that we do here when we gather in Christ's name? We do as the Apostle Peter has written. We proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. For at one time we were not a people. We were devil's possession. But now we are the people of God. At one time we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. And so as God's mercy-filled people, we continue as God's people have since the day of Pentecost. Those who had received the gift of the Holy Spirit, who were repentant and baptized unto the forgiveness of sins, were steadfastly continuing in the apostles' teaching, in communion, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. There are our fruits. There are the marks of the church. On the other hand, whosoever doesn't gather with Jesus scatters, he says. First, they remove themselves from the public assembly. Church just isn't for me. That's for you religious people. I'm a spiritual, but not religious like that. Hypocrites. First, they remove themselves from the public assembly, where God's people praise and proclaim his name and sing. Soon after this, they stop praying and stop talking about God altogether. Their mouths go mute and their lips forget his word. In their wandering, they become hardened and quit repenting altogether. Lastly, they adopt the devil's ultimate agenda, which is that they begin to use God's name as a curse, rebuking everyone who bears it and silencing everyone who confesses his word. They become just like the scribes and the Pharisees here in our text, and who will, in a couple weeks, try to silence our Lord's disciples again. As it's written on Palm Sunday, the whole multitude of Christ's disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, like this exorcism. They said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the very stones themselves would immediately cry out." And so we see that those who scatter with demons become mute to the things of God and suppressors of the truth. There is no middle ground. And yet here we are, my friends. Christ has set us free. He has broken our muzzles and loosed our tongues. Through the preached word, he has called us to be his people and has gathered us in his Spirit to abide with us and we with him. The demons have no power here. Therefore, on our part, we shall not be silent. With the psalmist, we shall confess Christ before men and say, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles. You have shown me your Son, crucified for my transgressions, pierced for my forgiveness, bloodied for my salvation, raised again for my justification. You shall again revive me and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And so with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, they are brought to shame, who seek my hurt. Psalm 71, just about all of it. That's the spirit and the voice that you have, O beloved. Beloved, when we were baptized into Christ by water and the word, we were exorcised of the devil's power and were given the Holy Spirit. The evil one left, and in his return, he has found more than a swept and tidied house. His home is not vacant. It is the dwelling place of the Most High God. It is inhabited by the one who sanctifies our bodies to be his temple. By the same sanctifying Holy Spirit, you cried out at your baptism, Abba, Father. And since that day, you have not only heard, but learned to confess his name and the manifold wonders and righteousness and salvation of our God. It's what our catechumens are learning to do, to confess the wonders of God. It's what next week you'll hear from new members who are joining our congregation. They will confess the name and salvation of the Lord. They have heard, they have learned, and now they confess. From the moment of your baptism, Christ has set you free. You have lived and walked in the favor of our Heavenly Father by His gracious word. When you err, when you sin against God and neighbor, it is by His word of forgiveness that you are restored. When you, husband and you, wife, are joined together in holy matrimony, united as one flesh by God's word, the Lord Himself sealed you with such power that no devil nor man can separate. When God gave you your vocation of spouse, of child, of friend, worker, employer, civil servant, and Christian, He gave you gifts by the same Spirit, gifts which He is continuing to develop and bring forth in you, virtues and talents in which you have learned to declare the greatness of His name in your own daily walk in life. So blessed not are just Mary and the breasts that nursed our Lord, but blessed are you, Jesus says. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So then let us keep this word with repentant hearts and loosed tongues, which cannot help but rejoice and sing, and confess the name of Jesus boldly, saying, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and know that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.